Okay, Pastor Mike. We had to start over because my brain's not working. So, why don't you do me a favor and pray us in? That's probably why my head's not right.
All right, let's pray. Lord, you tell us to call upon you and that you'll hear us, Lord. You say that your ways are higher than our ways. But I also know that you like to use the foolish things and the weak things to confine the wise and the mighty. And so, Lord, today as we talk about biblical masculinity, as we talk about what your scriptures would tell us what masculinity is, Lord, help us to filter it, all that's going on in the culture today through the lens of your word, to the filter of your word, Lord. And we ask you would just speak through Adam and myself, Lord, and those that are going to be listening to this this year, next year, whenever, Lord. I would pray that they would be challenged, they would be encouraged, that they would be convicted to be a better Christian, a better man, a better woman, Lord. And so we ask that your mercy, your grace, and your love and your spirit would be upon the family and the thin line. So we just ask for your blessing, Lord God, today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mike. Okay, so as I was saying before, we had to stop the recording because my brain stopped working. So I was listening to Eddie Petting's podcast there. He's got one with his wife. They've only got four episodes out, but Eddie's entertaining.
That he
So
is.
it's a good one to listen to. I mean, he's a guy's a warrior. He's a believer, so it's good. It's good material. On the most recent episode that I listened to today, he asked his wife to describe what she believed was the stereotypical Christian man, right? And the name I couldn't think of was Ned Flanders, which is, Simpsons. It's this guy.
Hey,
And, I get it. He's got a mustache,
you guys
right?
can kind of
You
look
can't
alike
hardly see
right
that,
there.
but I know. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's more accurate, right?
Wow.
But anyway, yeah, so Ned Flanders, right? This straight-laced milquetoast, I would call him, kind of guy, not a whole lot going on. Non-confrontational. Doesn't make a lot of noise. One of those types. And that's not necessarily biblical. That's fine if you want to be that kind, right? But there comes a time and a place when you've got to be a man. And I think our society has done so much work to emasculate men that we find ourselves in a pretty terrible place right now. And what got me initially thinking about this actually was watching Ukraine, right? Look at their
Oh,
president.
gosh.
Look at
And his
Zelensky,
wife.
right? Is his name? Oh my gosh. Talk about a man. The US offers to help evacuate him, and he says, I don't need a ride, I need ammo. And they show him throwing on his tack vest and suiting up and getting ready to go. I mean, he's putting on the literal armor, and he's getting ready to go fight, man. It's not, we don't have that in this country. We don't have somebody that would fight. We have somebody that runs home and takes a vacation. And we saw this a couple presidents ago too. Somebody who took a vacation when things got hard, went and played golf. That's not a man. And so what I thought about was biblically, if we want to talk about a man, what the first guy that comes to mind to me is David, because here's a guy who not only was a shepherd, he said he fought off the lions and the wolves or whatever it was, before he fought Goliath. He said that. And then he goes and he fights Goliath. He's a giant killer as a kid. And then we see this flip side of him. in that he played music to calm the spirit of Saul. And he wrote the majority of the Psalms. So he's a poet. He's a warrior, giant killer, a shepherd, all these things. And it's, the word says that he was a man after God's own heart. And so here's a man's man who isn't afraid of his creative side. And you can have both. But I'm so sick of society trying to tell us, mm-hmm. and this is the world thing, right? This is the world trying to take the place of the church. And I'm so sick of this anti-masculine push. It's ridiculous. And what happens? There has to be a void that fills that. And we have these women that step up and are trying to fill that void. And that's not biblical either. And so I'm frustrated at the place that we are in right now, because in my mind, I just don't see us. If this country's attacked, thank God for our Second Amendment. But how many men are going to be men and take advantage of that?
As you're talking, it reminded me of, I posted this, if you could see it, hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men, right, create hard times. And it's a cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, speaking of David, you know, as a, having been a worship leader for many years, having been a worship pastor, you know, it's sad. There are more women by nature that are worshipers. I think because of who God created them to be, as just, you know, be more sensitive, you know, emotionally, all that. But throughout the Psalms are written majority by King David. You have Asaph, you know. But this is a guy that, you know, we talked about this in other podcasts where the verse, Psalm 144, verse 1, teach my hands to fight, battle. And, but yet, like you said, he was a shepherd boy who warded off bears, lions, right? By himself. But yet he would take his, I'm going to just say ukulele, a guitar. And the Bible says the stringed instrument. And, mm-hmm. and I'm sure there was that, like in the, you know, Babylonian days and in the Egyptian days, where they would find the best musicians and these rulers, you know, would make them look soft, feel soft, so to speak. You know, and, but we forget that David was a warrior. You know, he knew how to fight with his hands.
Yeah.
But I also think, too, is David knew the importance of feeding into his spirit. You know, when King Saul was after, you know, little David, David uses stringed instruments to bring calm and peace to King Saul for his heart and his spirit. And where the issue I see in today's culture is when you look at churches today at large, you know, Bethel, Elevation, Hillsong. I mean, not many men on that stage describes a biblical man, so to speak. You know, he doesn't have that warrior look per se, maybe outside of Pastor Ken Graves. And you know what I mean? I mean, Ken's, you know, got a voice that's in the middle of earth, you know, church, let's sing. And if you don't sing, like, oh, I'm going to be in trouble type of thing. And, you know, you shared about, you know, Eddie Penny's podcast. I caught a few words when they started, when, you know, his wife was describing the Christian male. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I got like a little bit. And mm-hmm. I too was thinking, I'm like, that's sad. You know, because I'll be honest with you. When pastors are wearing skinny jeans, I don't even watch them anymore. Not that they don't have a truth to share. You know, me just being a man, a man, I don't see that as, you know, masculine, you know? And so a lot of times when I learn worship songs, I don't watch the live videos anymore because it's like, I don't want to see it. You know, because you have these guys that are just not, like you were saying, like Zelensky, he put on his armor, his wife is wearing armor, holding a, you know, an AK or whatever she's holding that day, you know. Mm-hmm. And, but then I also have to look at, you know, our culture. I think our country is at its, you know, this cycle of good times, you know, creating hard times. And, you know, our country has been blessed by God. Partly, I think, because our country has been blessing Israel. But the other thing I've also noticed, too, is like, you look at all the leaders in every facet of government, right? It's like, where are the men? You know? And, like, you know, the whole thing's with the truckers. You know, you and I, we have opinions about truckers having, you know, being in the public safety. they're.
I actually have a pretty high opinion.
Most truckers.
Most truckers,
I think,
anyway.
99% of them are
most
phenomenal. Truckers. You have a few that are just like, they hate cops because they don't want inspections.
Yeah.
They need to deliver their goods. They're past their hours. You know, you have a few of those. But for the most part, they're good. I mean, you know, but for them to do what they're doing now in Canada and what they're doing here in the States, these are actually just your average guys that are stepping up to say, you know what? You piss us off. You're not going to get any food. You know? Mm-hmm. And, but then, you know, you look at the soldiers and the men that God's raising up in Canada. It's always that notion. I'm like, okay, if our country went to war, I hate to say this, but they're going to have to draft the baby boomers again.
Well, you see the Russian recruitment video next to the American recruitment video, right?
I almost wanted to join the Russian army.
Oh, yeah.
Comrade.
Oh, man. Yeah. And I'm not taking sides with Russia, not even in the least. I mean, I know what they become, especially, you know, we talk about Ezekiel 38 and 39. I read it again this morning in light of what's going on. And I totally disagree with what they're up to. However, I vehemently disagree with what our United States military is doing. You know, and I have friends that served. And God bless them. And I have family that's technically still in. And it's awesome. But, you know, they would say it is so much different than it used to be. And I know there are true warriors, true David-like warriors. We interviewed one of them, right? Eli Crane, who is hoping to get in a leadership role in order to bring things to where they should be. And hopefully, you know, your fellow citizens out there in Arizona are going to vote the right way this coming election. I don't count on anybody in Oregon to do the same, but, you know, it's going to take a lot of true, you know, I got to say type A, because I know that David was a type A guy. And it takes – men like that to step up and be leaders, knowing what authority they have, and especially if they're believers, knowing authority that they have in Christ and exercising it. And it drives me nuts that we see all these pictures of Jesus as, you know, like kind of looking up and, you know, this really soft human being, you know. Now, hold on a second. We're talking about the guy who slept through a storm, right? Who evaded capture when they were ready to stone him, who stood up to these religious bigots of the day, looked him in the eye and called him, you know, vipers and whitewashed tombs, went into the temple, turning over tables, throwing stuff, yet with enough self-control to make sure that the birds didn't get killed in their cages. I mean, we're talking about a freaking man who, when being questioned before he was going to be crucified, he said nothing. And then as he hung on the cross, he never begged for his life. He never asked to be taken down. He took his beating quietly and he hung there and he said, "It's finished." I mean, that's the ultimate example for us, and it's a man who stood up for his faith, who didn't back down, who knew the word, obviously, and lived it. And yet we've got so many Christians today that are so far removed from what it used to be. And another good example is George Washington. I mean, here's a man, you know, talk about a man's man. Yeah. I mean, there's another one. And so I know they're out there, but it's not what is seen by the world anymore. Well, and especially when we face a pandemic, we face all these things and they're silent.
You know, yesterday I shared on a message, you know, entitled "Bring It On," you know, and, you know, all of us are going to go through a trial one day or another, you know. And you have to ask yourself, are you the type to say, "Bring it on," or are you going to be like, you know, we talked about this, like, right. You get the dispatch comes on, you know, and they're like, "Shots fired in the air is this area and this area." It's not even in your jurisdiction, but you hear it. You're like, "Cool. That's my brother. I'm going to start heading towards that direction," you know? And I've been there where, you know, you're driving your patrol car, lights and sirens, and perks of being a cop is you get to go fast, right? And you're hauling, and you're like, "Why is that car going this way? The scene's that way," you know? And you have those innate, like, type A personality. Let's go. I want to go towards the trouble. I want to go towards the fire, you know? But over the years, I think from the 1950s and on, they overemphasized education in such a way it was a deteriorating of our country, you know, where little by little, having an education is more important than a trade certification, right? If you think about all the cops that became cops in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, majority of them didn't have a college degree at all, right? Crap hits the fan. They're like, "Cool, sign me up. I'll be a cop. What do I need to do?" All right, cool. It's when, you know, stupid politicians that got in their seats to change laws to make it worse for police and fire. But for the most part, if you look at our country, our great country, the men that ran this country, they ran it. They learned all their manly skills out in the work field, you know, digging trenches, doing all this hard work, right? Like you said, I mean, like even the program Chosen, like, great program. It took me a while to get into it, you know, to see what the hype was. But even Jesus in that, I'm like, okay, he just looks like your average guy. And I'm like, if I'm not mistaken, Jesus was a carpenter. And I mean, if he's building stuff, he's got to carry all that, you know? And most carpenters that I know that did heavy carpentry, they've got some hands. They've got some forearms because they're just carrying everything, right? Contractors and all that. And so, but like you, I 100% agree with you because, you know, we at least in this state or in this country, for some reason, have this image of Jesus as being soft, supple, perfect, like wavy hair, you know. And in my opinion, I picture Jesus to be very much like, almost like Ken Graves, you know. He was your, he was your man that was an example of what it is to be a man. And sadly, the church has, even the church has, at large, has glorified, I don't know, today's accepted culture of what a man is. You know?
Hence the, hipsters teaching at these mega churches. And if you're a hipster, go be a hipster. I don't really care. I'm just, what I'm saying is that those particular preachers I'm talking about have been emasculated. And they don't stand for truth.
I mean, like you brought up Zelensky. You know, if I'm not mistaken, he's the first Jewish president in Ukraine. He's got Jewish blood.
I know he's Jewish. I assume he's the first Jewish because they haven't been in a country that long.
You know, I was just hypothetically thinking in my head, I'm like, oh, Lord, you got a Jewish boy as a president in Ukraine. I'm like, maybe you're going to do something there. I don't know. But, you know, here he is. He's like not standing down, not fighting against, you know, Putin's in his comfy little office, you know, flicking little orders. And here's Zelensky. I'm not rushing away. Like you said, he's like, send me ammo. Send me, you know, weapons.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to stand here and fight. You know, I mean, you...
Dude, he's standing up to a nuclear power, the richest man in the world up until a few days ago, probably.
Well, and then you know, he asked Elon Musk, "Hey, can you send your satellites so we can communicate?" That was a game changer thought for me. I was like, "Cool, you know, we've got friends in high places, literally." But here's an example of Zelensky suiting up with armor. What? A physical example, visual example of what it is to be a man, you know, not in some Oval Office that, you know, for example, right? If you've ever worked a special detail, people that are on special detail are on special detail because they were, I don't know, they have some expertise with some stuff. You know, whether it's hand-to-hand combat, whether it's small knives, small weapons, right? You have that. That's where you're on the specialty. You know, I was always a meathead as a breacher. So, you know, I wasn't into the fine detail. But whoever you're protecting, though, it makes you wonder if somehow the special detail were to die, can you protect yourself? Right?
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a generation that's slowly but surely running this country. You know, back in the day, you know, I think in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s, there was, it's called, you know, metrosexual. Remember that? You know, guys, they were, you know, getting the eyebrows shaped and, you know.
Looking like they're on GQ, you know, or something.
Doing the whole hair thing. Now, if you're 250 pounds and you can squat, and you can throw and you do that, hey, more power to you, okay? But when if you're doing that and you can't defend yourself, I just, you know, I kind of get concerned. And the problem with our church, the church at large, is outside of a handful of pastors, I don't know many pastors in the pulpit that I would say that are like masculine, manly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Chuck Smith, he loved, like, you know, manly man. You know, he's always, you know, like those kind of dudes, like Ken Graves, Raul Ruiz, Poncho, all these, you know, MMA or esque type, like former guy. But you look in the pulpit today, there isn't many pastors that are, I guess the question could be asked is, would they even take up arms to lead a charge? You know, I was telling, you know, Lacey one of these other nights, I was like, hey, if crap hits the fan and our country gets bombed, let's say hypothetically, because we got libtards up north in Canada, you got, you know, tyrant Trudeau, and then you got the Mexican government who is really run by the cartels. I said, if the United States ever gets attacked, I go, I'm not going to be one of these pastors that's going to be like, oh, okay, cool. You know, I'm going to strap up and we're going to go, you know? But then I always wondered, I'm like, hey, what other pastors are thinking that way? You know? And I can't think of many because you have, you know, guys that are, you know, wearing pants and shoes that are name brand, it's in the know, you know, and I was like, dude, I don't care how you teach the word of God, but if we actually get into a firefight, I don't want you near me. You know, I want the cowboy that, you know, yep. Yeah, he's not walking perfectly with the Lord, but he fears God. You know, but he's up at sunrise, doesn't go back into the house till sundown because he's got a farm and he loves the Lord that way. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather have him next to me in a firefight than, you know, I'm so tempted to call out some names, man.
Well, we can say Carl Lentz because he's already a turd anyway, but you know, there's ones like that. And this one of the scary parts about it is if you're going to a church like this and you look at your pastor and you're like, is that guy going to run? You know, if we come up under spiritual attack, seriously, is he going to run? Or what about physical attack? You know, and I'm reminded again, you know, the movie, The Patriot, you know, I posted this a while back on Instagram, because the pastor in this movie has one of my absolute favorite quotes of all time. So he's walking out of the church with his musket, and one of the guys says, Pastor? And he says, a shepherd must tend his flock and at times fight off the wolves. That's a man. You know, and you talked about the problem with the church. Man, it brings me back to 2 Timothy 3 again, which, you know, Paul was writing to Timothy, the leader of the church. And he says, he's talking about the problems of people in the last days. And he says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And he says, have nothing to do with such people. And so I see all these mega church pastors. And you know what? There's not necessarily anything wrong with a mega church, okay? There's a couple that I think are fine. But they're few and far between. But, you know, there's some that will get up there. They give a great motivational speech. They might say the name of Jesus, represent him wrong. But they really deny the power of him. In fact, so many of them are touting the power of you. The power is within you. You know, this crap. No. Then why did Jesus come to the earth? If the power was in me, why did he need to die for me? The power's not in me. Mm-hmm. That's the point. That's the point that David understood. That's why he spent so much time writing Psalms in prayer, because he knew that time with God translated to these songs that were being sung, David has slain his tens of thousands because God gave him the tools to go and be a freaking man.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned, what was his name? Nick? No. Lentz? Yeah. Carl Lentz?
Oh, the pastor, I said? Yeah, Carl Lentz. Yeah.
Well, I mean, dude, that guy, he reminded me of being a metrosexual, like skinny jeans, up in the know, you know. And, but that, you know, let me, you know, take the binoculars and open it back up, you know, in the sense of that's what Satan wants, right? Longshank in that movie, Braveheart, if we can't kill them, we'll breed them out. And I think that's the ultimate goal of Satan, right? To steal, kill, and destroy. And what Satan knows, he can't utterly just destroy the church. God will not allow that to happen. But he knows the word of God enough where he could, remember, he was, you know, Lucifer. Morning light, morning star, right?
He tempted Jesus.
And I think what better way to, you know, slowly but surely demasculinize the church is to join it. You know, to have men that I'm called to the ministry, but they say, oh, I'm called to the ministry. I want to serve the Lord. I remember going to Bible college. You know, I went to Biola for a little bit and it got too expensive and I went to Calvary Bible College. And Marietta had, you know, because it was a resort, they had a gym. But what they did is they took the gym and stuck it into a smaller area. And I lost it a little bit. I was like, what the heck? I go, real quick question. I go, why isn't there a strength and conditioning program for pastors or for really Bible college? And my, you know, the Bible college director at the time, he's like, I never really thought about that. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've been bought with the price. I go, guys should know how to swing a hammer, right? Guys should know how to use a shovel. If girls want to learn that, cool. But, like, that was the one thing that, in my head, I had to just chalk it up. I'm like, they're training spiritually and scripturally educated men, but yet it's going to be in a shell that's weak. No muscle. No athleticism. And there was only a handful of us that, I don't know, that gravitated, like physical activity was just something that, like, to release from stress. And, you know, and it was cool. My buddy, you know, Pastor Steve Wang, he's now in Virginia. And you remember that movie Bloodsport with Jean-Claude Van Damme?
I never watched a Jean-Claude movie.
Anyways,
honestly.
In the movie called Bloodsport, there's a Chinese guy, Bolo Young. Big mm-hmm. Chinese bugger, right? And my buddy Steve looked like his son. I was like, dude, are you sure you're not related? He's like, no, bro, I'm not Bolo.
Wait, is he the one that fought Jean-Claude at the end of the movie?
Just a big Asian dude, right? And so
yeah, he's massive. Yeah.
Like, I got that name when I was young in high school. They're like, hey, there's Mini Bolo. I'd be like, oh, gosh. And so my brother, my oldest brother, looked like him because he was massive. Anywho, there was me, Steve Wang, a guy named Sean Flood, who was also, he was actually an amateur boxer, but man, he loved lifting weights. And he was one of those guys that always wore baggy clothes. And if you touched him, just rock solid. He's like, bro. I'm like, oh, man, if you ever die, dude, you're the one we're going to go to because you got all that meat on you, you know? But we were talking one day at Bible college, and he's like, at the time, there was probably about 50 to 60 guys that were under the pastoral ministries program at Calvary Chapel Bible College while it was still up at Twin Peaks. They don't have that program now. But the guys that knew that they were called to be a pastor, there was a select group of them that were given classes to study for pastoral ministry, not just biblical leadership and biblical studies. But out of this group, there was only less than five of us. One of them was Jeremy Camp, but he's a superstar metrosexual now. I tease him. But, we were the ones that would go to the gym between classes to throw some weight around on the bench press. You know, I was all about who can squat the most versus who can bench the most, right? But we were meatheads that loved the Word of God, right? And if you look at seminaries today, right, cemeteries, out of all those, how many of them are like outside of Tim Tebow, let's say, like, ooh, I'm a man's man, right? Now, not to say that there isn't guys like Bruce Lee, right? Bruce Lee was a stud in martial arts, right? But it's also that notion of like, whoa, you know, and where our churches are going today, I'm concerned, because if our country goes to war, not only is our advertisement of our military weak, you know, but they're dependent upon smart weaponry, so to speak. You know, when we do, you know, tactical training, right? If your battery-powered weapon doesn't work, what do you do? If something goes out, what do you do? And if you think about it, boils down to, like, if you run out of bullets, what do you have left? Right? You have your baton, knife, right?
Yeah. Fisticuffs.
And, like, so last night I watched the first ever UFC fight in Denver, Colorado. Back in, what, 91, 92, 93? One of those. And, of course, it was Royce Gracie and the Gracie family promoting the, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Because they were the original ones. Like, they wanted to challenge anybody and everybody, right? You got a sabot fighter. Mm-hmm. You got a kickboxer. You got a regular boxer. You got a karate guy. And a little hoist went in there, you know, just with his front kicks and things like that. I'm like, I forgot how raw it was. No rules, you know, no gloves.
No gloves.
And I mean, like, straight out crotch kicks, headbutts, you know, not like how UFC is today. But you literally had warriors go into that ring saying, my style is better than your style, right? And this is where I should say, like, just because you got muscle and you weight, that doesn't mean you're masculine. It's just you've worked out. And I think, I don't know, and you can chime in on this too, muscles doesn't equal, you know, masculinity. It's, how can I say this? It's the warrior mentality, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You know, like, remember that movie Spartan? And when Leonidas said, you know, yeah.
Oh, 300, you mean?
When he's like, where are your men? And Leonidas is like, what do you mean, where are my men? Where are your men? It's like, this is all we have. Like, I think it's a bunch of farmers, right? He's all, I have my men, right? Spartans. And then you just hear in unison, oh, right? I still get chills when I think about that scene, right? That's the warrior mentality I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, church doesn't have those men around anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, we want our moms and our wives to go into the school district office or whatnot. Where are the men stepping up for the rights of the church? Where are the men stepping up for the rights of our country? You know, you brought up the Russian military commercial. You've seen the Chinese military commercial. And then you see the United States. My mom and my other mom raised us. I was just like, I am embarrassed right now.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a fighting force.
I mean, let's admit it. You and I, having been in... You were going to say, go ahead.
Nothing, go ahead.
No, but I was going to say...
I'm going to get myself in trouble.
This is one of those podcasts going to be edited. Or not aired. Private invite only.
Spotify, private invite only. Spotify. Yeah. You can find this on Rumble. Yeah.
No, because the sad truth is you and I have been uniform. You're still in uniform. I've gone out of it. You have guys that are going to go to the firefight. You have that guys that won't. And the ones that won't, you know, are hesitant.
Yeah.
And I'll tie it over this way. Remember when Gideon was selected? If you think about Gideon, he was scared.
Oh, he didn't want to go. He had to lay the fleece, man. He's like, yeah.
Right?
Are you sure?
But if you think about it, that's like a lot of us. Like, we get scared. But the thing is, we need to surround ourselves with mighty men, right? And he told Gideon, he's like, look for the guys that's going to drink water, but that's going to look up. Right? Still keeping an eye. And I think the church overall, with infiltration of Satan, in the sense of, you know what? Don't hire biblically masculine men to be in the pulpit. Just hire seminary trained that like to wear tight jeans, that wants to hashtag this and hashtag that, but that can't fight a warfare. Those are fine. And I think that's where we're at.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been to a lot of pastors' conferences. And it's no different than going to a police officer's training or a firefighter's training, right? You go there, and it's a pecking order, right? It's like jockhead city. You know, you go to these things, and you see those guys that have, you know, they just got a haircut the night before. They want to look sharp.
That hard. Got the hard part. Right?
And you just, And you, like those guys that especially gets their uniform shirts tailored so that it shows off their arms and, you know, and their gut and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I just laugh because you go to these things.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. What bums me out about the pastors' conferences that I've been to, and I'm like, this can't be right. Why am I with a bunch of out-of-shaped dudes? What is going on? And at these conferences... Mm-hmm. I force myself to work out in the morning and at night because I'm eating bad, you know? Or I just work out. I just remember to just work out twice a day, you know?
Yeah.
Do I see these fellow pastors in the gym with me throwing some dumbbells, you know, doing sprints on the treadmills? These are hotel gyms. No excuses, right? No. Do I see them at the buffet eating the cookies? I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, Lord, this is not a good picture. You know, but the opposite is true too. Is when you go to a police fire training, you have all the, you know, you have all the jockos, so to speak, right? But then the flip side of it is all those uniform warriors are spiritually weak. You know,
yeah,
and that's where I'm like, we need a blend of the two, right? Because David was a warrior, but he's also a worshiper. And you know, the notion that today's men, you know, like when I've led worship for men's conferences, you know, it takes some time, but there are some guys that love to worship. And when you hear several hundred or several thousand men singing, you know, worship songs, man, there's a holiness, there's a just... a righteous war from men worshiping, like raw, right? But you don't find that in today's church. Not to boast about my church that I recently took over, but the people genuinely want to worship. And you even hear the men's voice. Like, you could tell because it's like, it's they're doing the baseline, you know, and which is fine.
Yeah.
But I think you're hitting a topic. We're talking about a topic that's crucial today. Because I really don't know, outside of Ken Graves and maybe Raul Ruiz and Pancho Juarez, because I'm, you know, obviously in the Calvary Chapel circle. And Jack. Jack lifts weights. You know, it's not like... But yeah, I don't know many preachers, you know, that are like, outside of knowing the scriptures, how many of them take care of their bodies? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, I gotta cut us off here in just a minute, but you know, we can talk crap about it, and I do. I enjoy talking crap about it, okay? Because it gets me fired up thinking about the fact that men aren't men anymore. They don't know how to treat women anymore. They don't know how to go out and fight anymore. They don't know how to handle their own bodies, and it drives me crazy. So, yeah, it gets me fired up. I like to talk crap about it. But you mentioned Psalm 144. This shows a contrast of what a man should be. And I'm only going to read two verses, but you're going to see both sides of what a man spiritually should be and what a man physically should be, okay? Blessed be the Lord, my rock, okay? Spiritual, okay? That's the Lord, his God, is his rock, okay? It doesn't move. Who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. That's both physical and spiritual, okay? We're to be spiritual warriors. But man, we are to be ready to protect our loved ones. You know, Paul said in the Corinthians, depending on the translation you have, love always protects. Okay. And then verse 2, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge. Okay. So he knows that his physical abilities aren't going to do everything for him. He has to trust in the one who is his shield. My shield and the one whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. So again, not only a spiritual, but a physical, right? So he knows how to be masculine. He knows how to be a man, but he also knows how to be a man of God. And that's what we're called to be. And so you mentioned that, you know, there's a lot of pastors out there that do not look like this. There's a lot of cops that don't look like this too. There's a lot of cops. Fortunately, most of the guys that I work with know how to take care of business. Or at least if they don't know how to take care of business, they do what they can with what they have, which shows me that they have a self-confidence, and that's important. Now, we also have to, as law enforcement, you know, we have to be able to walk away from a scene that sucked or something that we had to do, like a deadly force or something, and be able to say, yeah, that was rough. And, you know, I need to take refuge. So there's both sides of it, right? We got the guys that lack a masculinity, that don't know what to do with themselves. That just want to, I don't know what they want to do. Frankly, I don't know, because that's not me. But, you know, then you have these other guys who are so masculine, and that's fantastic, and we need those guys. But then they don't know how to really have a relationship with Christ, because they're unwilling to submit, I think. Because maybe they think that's weak. Because of this... This stereotypical picture of a Christian man that we have. So,
Well, I think that's where
final thoughts, Michael.
I think that's where Thin Line Believers is, you know, I think it's going to be a part that's going to help change things, you know, and, you know, I don't know of any podcast or platform where two Jesus loving guys that love to work out, that love to eat, that's not afraid to put on a bulletproof vest and go fight, you know? And, you know, I think it's just the individual person needs to face that reality. Am I the type to say, bring it on? Or am I, I don't want to deal with it, you know? And that involves everything, health, spirit, mental, physical, right? You know, my mom was a warrior. When she was diagnosed with cancer, she's like, bring it on. Kind of like Job. You can destroy this physical body, but you're not going to destroy my heart. You know?
Oh, man. Job, shall we accept good things from God and not adversity?
You know, and again, Job's another. He was a biblically masculine dude. Right? If you think about it, took care of his family.
Yep.
You know, and he was a worshiper. He just didn't have some good friends by his side to, you know, sharpen him. But, you know, I know we got to close this podcast. My encouragement to whoever you are that's listening, like Peter the Apostle, who warmed himself in the enemy's fire and was caught. We all fail physically, spiritually, mentally, financially, whatever the case is. And this is where I love, you know, God, my grace is sufficient for you. And, you know, at times have I stopped being a man? At times have I stopped being a praying man, you know, Bible praying person with my wife and with my kids? Fine. God says, it's done. Let's move on. You have another day. Become a man, you know? And, you know, that's where I hate the fact that CrossFit was named CrossFit in the sense of cross training, you know, because Christians should be genuine pictures of the cross, Jesus Christ, and they should be a picture of the fitness. So it ought to be spiritually, physically, really that CrossFit. You know, and the one thing that the CrossFit community does today is that is community. And I take things from CrossFit. I'm not a big CrossFitter because, you know, I look at their body and look at my body and be like, bah. But you have to admit, like, you go into a box gym, you're just pumped. Like, I'm not in shape, but he is, and he's, you know, encouraging me, let's go. And so, too, we need to pick up whatever pieces that God's given to us, and we need to run with it. Because why? We're in the last days. And I hate for people that are going to come across this podcast after the church is taken.
Yeah, so let's go into eternity with some bloody knuckles from these spiritual battles we have, man. Who knows, maybe physical. But Heavenly Father, thank you for this conversation today. Thank you for giving us examples of manly, masculine men who are men after your own heart. And help us to learn from them, to walk in that path, Lord, a fearless path. Because you went before us, you go with us. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, guys. We'll see you next time. And in the meantime, blessed be the Lord my God, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle.